What's shaking? Hey, I'm Rick Jordan. Today, we're going all in.
There we go.
Hey, how we doing? What's shaking, man? How you doing?
How you doing, brother?
Good.
Good.
How's
Thank
life?
Thank you for having.
Yeah, thanks amazing. For being on.
Absolutely amazing, man. How about you?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good.
Good.
It's a batching day. I appreciate you being part of it, dude.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, we'll have a good time for sure.
Cool.
I love what you got going on in the background there.
That's fantastic. Thank you, man. Thank you. I got all
yeah.
studio here.
Yeah, right on. I can see that. Looks like that's where you do your show, yeah?
Yeah, I have a YouTube channel and I try to get here. I usually work from home. I travel a lot. So either home, I'm trying to get in here more often and do my videos here because it's so professional. But
yeah.
I usually do it from my iPhone or my home, dude, to be honest with you. I'm always all over the place.
I think one of my favorites was I was at the JW Marriott in Orlando. And I went like down this escalator to this part to where it's like where the staff comes into the service elevators, you know, because it was the quietest area except for when they would come in. So I was like hitting mute. I think I was doing it on Zoom. I was like hitting mute every time the door would slam when somebody come in.
Oh,
so I was trying to time the questions right so I can mute it before someone else. Yeah. It was hilarious, but that's what we do, right?
Yeah, it's a wild world. It's been since 2000, the pandemic changed our whole business model. We have so I'm inside, we have a corporate office. We have like a conference room. We have a gym, meditation cell. And we got shut down during COVID and it pissed me off so much. I'm like, we lost like 78% of revenue. So we went completely online and the rest is history, man. So it took us worldwide. Well, like the pandemic worked out for us. So it was like, holy shit. I got so pissed off. I was like, screw these people. So then we just took our content. TikTok is what blew us up, man.
That's awesome, dude.
Believe it or not, man, my daughter got us on TikTok and it was like, holy shit, we went completely. I mean, we had been posting, we posted 35,000 times by 2020 without any virality and one video, man, hit on TikTok and it was like,
wow, that's incredible. Yeah. By the way, I think we already started the show. No official intro or anything like that, but we already recorded. That's good info. But for everyone listening now, this is a good way to start. This I love it when this happens because it's like we meet and then it's like, man, this is it's kindred spirits right away, you know?
Yes.
It's awesome, brother. But we'll dive into that too because, I mean, John Vasquez, Coach JV, that's who we've got here today. And this is, I mean, your bio is amazing, dude. It's you know, you wrote a book in 2006, right? The book called The Secret. No, you didn't. You woke up and read that.
I wish I wrote The Secret.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm like, wait a second. I know that book. You know,
it's over my shoulder right here. Yeah,
I see it up there now. That's awesome. Yeah, but after an attempted suicide, dude, what led up to that?
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, it goes pretty deep. It started, you know, as I realized through the awakening afterwards what caused it, right? I was kind of just obliviously going through life and it was just trauma as a child, right? I never really had the healed trauma. And then my whole young adult life after I went out of the military, I was just seeking edification from the world. I didn't know how to operate in the world. I really didn't have a lot of masculine guidance within my life. My dad was in my life, but wasn't. I mean, he was worked nonstop, constantly, you know, he provided as a father, but or provided for the family, but wasn't truly there to teach me how to be a man. And so I was always looking for that edification from a male figure. Some stuff happened to me that shouldn't happen to a child at a very young age. Yeah. And I just really embodied that. And so when I left the military, I ended up getting into bodybuilding. And so I remember the first time, man, I stepped on stage as a bodybuilder. I was a chubby kid growing up, didn't get the girls, wasn't a good athlete. And I stepped on stage and I probably shouldn't have done that bodybuilding show, but I had transformed my body. I had abs for the first time. And, you know, I was that guy that was kind of the courtesy clap on stage, but the people cheering for me was like, I was addicted right away, man. Yeah. I was like, oh my God. And then I got really into bodybuilding. And so it became my whole obsession from got out of the military in 2000, right before 9/11, 2001. And then I got obsessed with bodybuilding. And so it was very healthy at first because I was, you know, changing my body, fitness, mindset.
Yeah.
I just had very low self-esteem, extremely low self-esteem. And then I had a leg injury.
Like feeling that at that point, right? With the applause and everything.
Oh my God. It was like I'd never, you know, been a good athlete. So I'd never had that. And, you know, my father was really into sports and I tried every sport and I just wasn't good. So I just felt like a failure. Right. And so, I had a leg injury. So before a bodybuilding show and I ended up going to a doctor and he prescribed me Vicodin. And I was a clean cut dude, never took really any drugs or anything like that. And I remember taking the first pill, man, for my leg injury, because I wanted to train through it. And yeah. I remember exactly the underpass I drove under, the feeling, like I got this overwhelming like euphoria feeling in my body. And I was like, oh my God. And I had this confidence that I've never felt before.
Wow.
It's not a good thing.
So,
you know, I'm at a grocery store and I still kind of start talking to people and I was like, wow. And so the injury still hurt, but the next day I'm like, well, I'll take it again for my training. And then, you know, I started taking just, you know, clean cut dude, like a lot of opiate addict stories. I started taking 2 pills, then 3 pills. Then I needed it to function. Then it was 5 pills, 6 pills, 7 pills, 20
yeah,
pills.
Yeah.
And back then that was an epidemic. I mean, they were giving it out like candy. It was 2000. I think I started back in late 2003 going into 2004. And it
remember
was just,
that,
it was
yeah.
epidemic. I mean, you could get them from Canada. You could get them. So my doctor stopped prescribing them to me. So I found another doctor. You could just pay them under the table. And I just became a junkie, a full-blown junkie, man. I was running a bodybuilding company at the time. And
that actually helped your lifting? It didn't?
No. It did. Yeah, I mean, I became a mess. I was a complete disaster. I mean, in the beginning, I still was doing pretty well.
Yeah.
But by 2006 is when the demise really started. What happened was, is I was a functional opiate addict. I was taking, you know, up to 20 pills a day, functioning, running my company.
And met people like that, like 20 Vikes during the day and then, you know, a couple of Ambien at night to bring you back down.
Exactly what I was doing. The problem was, though, is that I started to hang around with different crowds because I was changing my frequency. I was, buying opiates on the black market. Yeah. So I started to access other drugs and it just like a clean cut dude to a full blown junkie. And I ended up taking an injectable painkiller called Nubay, and then that was the demise. I became extremely addicted, forgot I even was running a company. My 3-year-old daughter was, you know, I'm just going to be fully transparent. You know, I was a shitty father, man. My daughter was one day was in her diaper all day, just shit in her diaper. I remember mom picked her up and I just became a complete, I don't know how to say this. Like, I'm trying not to get emotional talking about it, but in 2006, it's okay, spiral.
Yeah.
In July 2006, I had, you know, plenty of money in my bank account, but by December 18, 2006, my bank account was empty and I went to Walmart to go Christmas shopping on December 18th for my daughter. And by this time, I'm buying hundreds of dollars worth of drugs a day. And I swiped my debit card, it declined. So I swiped my credit card, it declined. I swiped my business card, it declined. I swiped every card and the lady's like, we can't keep swiping. So I go to the bank and I'd never overdrafted my account in my life. And they turned the banker had turned the screen to me and it was red. And just, he's like, everything's overdrafted, man. He's like, you have no money. And I'm like, what? And it kind of like, I was in such a fog for such a long time. I was like, what do you mean? And the manager's like, you're broke. And I'm like, and all these voices started coming in my head, like the gig is over, dude. Like it's your lie is over, the money is gone. You're and all that insecurity came back and everything. And I went to my office. I had a company inside of a gym, and so I went into the office and I just loaded as much as I could into as many syringes as I could. It was an injectable painkiller, and first time I'd ever prayed or had access to spirituality ever. I never was introduced to God or Jesus Christ or anything like any type of spirituality growing up. I was raised Catholic, but went to church for Easter and, you know, funerals. And I knelt down and prayed to God. I was like, dear God, please forgive me. This is not how I wanted it to end up. And I just kept a syringe, boom, I'd throw it. And I set up a mattress so my parents wouldn't find me laying on the ground.
Yeah.
And that's all I remember. And then I woke up. That's where the secret comes in. My phone is ringing. If you remember the Razor flip phones, they had the little screen on the front of them. And so that distinct ring. And I was like, and this is so wild about thoughts becoming things, because I opened my eyes and I'm like, I'm not dead. And I was like, the first thought was, I can't even kill myself correctly. That was my first thought.
Wow.
And so my I said mom on it. I pick it up. She had no idea that I attempted suicide. She had no idea that it woke me up from this. Yeah. It was 48 hours later. Opened the phone and my mom's a very classy lady. And she's like, I don't know what the F is going on with you. She never cusses or anything. She's like, I don't know what the F is going on with you, but you need to read a book called The Secret. Your grandma just read it. So I went and got that book, that actually specific book. And I went and read the book and I'm like, oh my God, I created all of this. Nobody did. People did things to me in the physical, but I decided to adopt that as my identity.
Yeah.
And that was my thoughts, my everyday, I'm not worth it. I'm not worthy. And so here I am, broke now, can't even take care of my 3-year-old daughter, getting evicted from my apartment, drug addict, couldn't even kill myself correctly. I'm like, well, wait a minute. So what if I just, I mean, I'm at the bottom. There's no other way to go. Yeah. I couldn't even kill myself. And so I was like, what if I just reframe my thoughts? And so I started doing, I am affirmations. I am powerful. I am strong. I am worthy. I am abundant. I kept repeating it. You know, I went through
those
this
are tough the first time, right?
Brutal, man. Dude. Brutal. And then I was, and also I'm coming off the drugs. And so I'm coming off and I shouldn't have done this. I went to my apartment. I was getting evicted. I had nothing left in there. Puked for about a week straight. Started getting some hydration going. And then I started to do this thing where I would, you know, I close my eyes when I say it, cause it's hard for me not to get emotional, but I would put my hands on the sink and I would open my eyes and look in my eyes and I would say it in, I would look into my eyes and say it. And about a week and a half in, I started to believe it. I'm like, oh my God. And I would start to smile at myself in the mirror. And I'm like, I am powerful. I am strong. It's like I'm smiling now, it makes me smile. I am worthy. I'm abundant. And then about 2 weeks later, I woke up one day and I'm like, I feel normal. I feel I didn't remember what it felt like to feel normal, like a normal person. And so I remember walking outside. I went for a walk, man. And I had been so not connected to my body my whole beginning of my life up into 31 years old. And that I had never noticed the world. And I was walking and I saw a flower. And I'm like, that's a pretty flower. And I was like, did I just say that's a pretty flower? And I was like, I did it.
Where'd my manhood go?
I went and sat down at this place called Val Vista Lakes. And I went and sat in the grass. And I started using my imagination. There's big lake houses. And I'm like, I would picture me and my daughter barbecuing. I'd picture like getting on the lake boat. Yeah. And I would do all this stuff. And then my life just started to change. One opportunity after another, man. It was just like, and I started to see the change. But from that point on, it was like I had forgiven my own past, and that's why I call myself JV. John Vasquez died in my mind, and a new person was born, which was JV. When JV only had the ability to live present and build forward, right? And I realized that actually all the things I was worried about, everybody was worried about themselves. Nobody was really, you know, like
You're not that special, right? That's what you ended up realizing. Or
we are all special in our own way. And that, you know, and I'm worried about me. You're like worried about you. Yeah. I'm worried about my family. You know, we're all, you know, great gifts from God. And it's been this journey for 17 years and here we are now, man.
Dude, I love it.
And there's a lot in between that, but
I love when you... I love every bit of your story. The only thing I don't love is when you hold back the emotion, you know, and you're like, I'm going to get emotional right here. And it's I love you because you're like already, like everybody is captivated for real. I am. I know that, but everybody is captivated because I am. And it's, you can just see it like in your eyes too, man. That's the thing. I mean, most are listening on audio, but it's like, I'm looking right at you and it's just incredible. Yeah. Especially when you talked about your daughter, dude, when she was three.
Saved my life, man. She saved my life. She's a beautiful 19-year-old girl turning 20 now. That's awesome. And it's interesting because it's like for anybody that's suffering with addiction or like I was not a good father to her from birth to about 4 years old. And that's the most essential time for a child, their brain development, right? And I put her through hell. She was in crack houses with me buying drugs. Like she was shit in her diaper, like the worst father you could ever be, right? Her mom was involved too, but when I had her, I was just a derelict, right? All I cared about was drugs. I didn't care about taking care of her. And what I want to tell people, if anybody's struggling with that, it's like me and my daughter have the most phenomenal relationship now. And it was they did a little, it never came out, but they were filming a little documentary about us. And it was neat to actually, and I think why it happened, I don't know if the guy just was lying or what, it didn't come out, but why it happened is because they interviewed my daughter. And I've always held like a ton of guilt for putting her through that. And it's like when they interviewed her, she actually asked me to step out of the room because they wanted her to be as completely honest as possible. And I sat outside, and it actually was next door in my office, and I was listening, and I'm like, oh my God. And like she goes, you know, I don't remember much about that, but I do remember he was my hero. And I was like, oh my God. Like I've felt so much guilt for that. And she said, what I love about it is I've seen what he's gone through, and then we lost everything again in 2020, which is the Cinderella story. I mean, I had a Cinderella story that we lost everything because of the pandemic. And she goes, I've seen what my dad does when the times are tough, and that's what made me who I am today. And I'm like, holy shit. And I was like, and it just changed the way that I saw. And now I have a son, and this is not ironic. This is divine. My son was born. I committed suicide on December 18th, 2006. I had a son on December 18th, 2015. And so we named him John Vasquez. And it was like, he was supposed to be born on December 25th. And I really believe that God gave me another opportunity, not only to be my father didn't do anything wrong. He's a great human being. He did what he knew what to do best. He provided. I just never had a loving relationship with him. So I know that God presented me because God saw that I went through the healing process, and he said he gave me a son and a beautiful daughter that now I can do the opposite, right? Complete. And I always say, even though I don't have a great relationship with my father, I call him my greatest shaman ever, because he has made me a great father, because I do the opposite of everything he did. You know, I look my kids in the eyes every day. I love you. I appreciate you. You're powerful. You're strong. And my son, I spoke affirmations into him in the womb all the way to now. He's just he's a monster, man. I was just telling somebody this morning before I came out here, I had him for a little bit, and I play like Indian flute music, just like positive music all the time in my house. I walk into his room, man. He's sitting there meditating. I'm like, you can't make this shit up, dude. I'm like, I was like, so anybody that out there is maybe suffering with addiction, and you know, you feel your kids see you as a superhero. They really, really do. And it's like, and no matter how bad it got, she saw the victory that I created through it. Right. And it's like, and you know, she's just such an awesome, awesome young woman now. And so, if anybody who feels guilty and stuff like that, and I still feel guilt. I still do. It's part of, you know, the growth process, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that's ever completely squashable, brother.
Yeah. It's part of your, becomes part of your, almost your story and your identity. Yeah. Right. And it's like, but I also make sure that I talk good to myself though, that I am a good father, that I'm healed now. I'm here for her now. And that, so when those thoughts come in, I use the affirmations to make sure that I reframe myself, because what we're doing is, you know, it's, you know, we have free will to think, to walk, to talk, to act. And the thoughts that we're currently experiencing now is the future of tomorrow. There's a delay process, right? How I'm feeling today is going to be my Saturday and my Sunday, and the decisions I make today is my Saturday, my Sunday. And that's the beautiful thing about life. The sun's going to come up. The sun came up the next day after I committed suicide, which proved to me that, and you know, I call it Jesus Christ, the sun came back up, and it was like, okay, holy shit, I get another chance. And every day we all get another chance. And
it's cool. This weekend is Easter, right?
Yeah, it's powerful, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I had doing another show today, like, oh yeah, do you celebrate? I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't know if it's a celebration thing. I just think it's more of a truth thing.
Truth. Yeah. Jesus Christ is so real to me, man. Yeah. So God and Jesus Christ, just in an, you know, I love talking about this. This is one of that's why I built my own companies, because in corporate America, I couldn't talk about politics or God.
Yeah, right on.
And I built companies, you can talk about whatever the hell you want, man. Yep. But yeah, it's like, you know, to me, Christ is so, like, people ask me, you know, well, how did you become so successful? I say, Christ. And like, well, explain that. It's really tapping in and tuning into Jesus Christ is the greatest representation of belief, right? He took undisciplined people and made them discipline. Yeah. That's what disciples
are—carpenters, fishermen. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
me, a broken ass dude that, you know, was a junkie, horrible father, and showed him the way and the light. And it's not that complicated. It's not, there's not all these hoops you have to jump through. It's like, you know, you hold them in your heart and you're kind to people, and you know, that be grateful for what you have and try to love people the best you can. And, you know, try to see goodness in other people. Right. And so that's been one of my biggest changes too, is like over the past 7 years, specifically in the last four, is really going through that spiritual walk with Christ and God, and, you know, and really finding a love for humanity. And that's why I think I was saved for all this. Cause it's like, I have such a deep love for humanity. Yeah. It's an amazing thing. Like, I know we're all going through a lot right now in our world, in our country. And it's like, there's all these things happening that are just so dark. But what I've learned is the darker it gets, the more we can transmute that light into greatness. Mm. You know,
I love that. It's interesting. Cause it's, as I age, right. And as I get more deep into myself and into God, my compassion for everybody else, my love for everybody else increases.
Yes.
And I've always been patient, man, you know, and I can see that that's the same with you for everyone else. But I mean, there's always days where you're like, really, dude, whoever you are, you know, you had to pull that. You know?
Yes.
But then it's, you know, like, go ahead. Yeah.
I just wanted to, so I did, yeah. I have, there's a gentleman that he's a great spiritual coach that I really honor. And I'm constantly like, I realize I know nothing, I became the smartest man in the world, and I realized I had everything. Yeah. I got everything I needed, right? And so what, I'm just a student of life, and we're out in the forest one day, and we're just talking and like hiking, and I said, I might just stop, and I said, who is God, man? Like, who is God? Yeah. And he said, because I'm on this path to just find, just to find myself, not to find God, because I know God is all things and anything. He said, well, let me ask you a question. He said, I'm not going to tell you who I think God is, but let me ask you a question. He said, do you believe God and Jesus Christ are perfect? And I said, yes. I said, 100%. He said, so how does God, and he said it, because God, people say Father often because it's masculine, right? Father, the creator, Father, the Son of, and then the earth is Mother, Gaia, the two become one. And so he said, how does the Father God know that he or it is perfect? And I'm like, that's a great question.
Hmm.
He's like, through you. He's like, he comes here through you to experience imperfection, to remember how perfect he actually is. And he's like, so imagine a world. He said, you don't have to believe this, but imagine a world that everybody you look, including me in the eyes right now, that I am made in the likeness and image of God. And he said, if you saw God face to face, how would you treat God? I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh, wow. He said, just adopt that and you'll be close to God. He's like, what if you're talking to God and I'm talking to God and we're all God experiencing imperfection? And at any point, we have free will to make a decision. We can think, we can walk, we can talk, and we can control our emotions.
Yeah.
Right? But this whole ecosystem that's been created, whether it's the devil being the prince of earth, whatever it is, has, or for me, let me just speak from my personal experience, like my own awakening process. Like something within the physical world made me believe I wasn't worthy, which pushed me deep in the left hemisphere of the brain, which was facts, figures, numbers, logic.
Yeah.
But I became illogical and started to speak goodness into myself, which, what is that, right? And then I started operating in the right hemisphere of my brain. I started to create different things. And now I operate in the right hemisphere of the brain, which is creation, intuition, which brings things into 3D form. So when I realized my power in my thought, my power in being able to control my actions, and most of all, my emotions through the process of creation, because in the process of creation, there must be density for things to come into form, right? So the two become one. You have a child that's exciting. Hey, we're pregnant. We're having a baby. And then all the mother has to go through this crazy birthing process. It's violent, a violent process to the baby to come into form, right? And that's how creation works. So when we decide, we think of something, it's exciting. We go to build a business. We get the business plan. We get the money. It's fun. Then you start actually building the business.
Yeah,
and then all the density kicks in, right? And then, then it becomes dense. It becomes imperfect. And all of a sudden, you have your first sale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's, I learned that this process is happening at a micro level in all of us and the macro level in the world. And if we all realize that we are actually the cause and effect of all this, then there would be peace and prosperity. But that's not what the design is. It's for each person to figure out who they are within this experience, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned something a little while back, and I love this because I'm not talking much for real. It's awesome.
No, sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Like I'm saying, literally, I love this because I'm just soaking everything in these. That you're saying that when you said that once you realize you had everything you needed, you know, then you got everything that came after that. I don't remember exactly how you said that. You said a lot more eloquently than I did just did. It was, I start to think of the concept because there's often, as long as we're on God and spirituality, there's often a concept of, you know, pray for what you want, you know, God will provide. Mm-hmm. And my thought process has already been, he already did.
Yes.
You know, it's like you've got all of these things in front of you, you know, and he's just waiting for you to be like, oh, there it is, you know, and to actually do something with that. You know, it's almost like one person once described it to me, used the illustration of like checkers, you know, it's kind of like it is literally that, to where it's like you cannot skip moves. You know, when God moves and gives you something, it's like now it's up to you to move. Now it's up to you to do something with what he laid out in front of you, because it's like, you know, you see these things, it's like, what are you talking about? You know, there's somebody like on an island, you know, or drowning or something like that. And it's, I've seen this illustration a lot of times before, and it's like, you know, the boat goes by, hey, you know, come on, we'll save. It's like, no, thanks. I'm waiting for God to save me, you know, and then a plane comes by and it's like, no, thanks. I'm waiting for God to save me, you know, and then, you know, something else, it's like an animal or something like that comes by, like hop on my back or whatever, you know, a whale, you know, no thanks. I'm waiting for God to save me. And then he dies, he drowns, You know, yes. And then up in heaven, it's like, God, why didn't you send me? He's like, what are you talking about? I sent you a boat. I sent you a plane. I sent you a freaking whale. You know, everything that you needed was right there in front of you. And I truly believe that it's a, I think there's a minimization of God that exists in our culture.
100%.
You know, it's like,
100%.
Isn't he big enough to where he literally just gave you everything you need already? Sure, you can build skill sets over time or whatever, but it's like he imparted that into you literally when you were born.
Yes. Yeah. If you can, this is truth. If you can think it, it can be created.
Yeah.
That's a fact. God is everything. God is nothing. God is all things. God has always been. There is no, like, God is the beginning of creation is a thought. It's a thought. I love this conversation, man. So like, I love going back to Jesus, and 'cause I'm obsessed with Jesus's life and studying every angle, for example, like this is one thing that I share with people a lot. And, cause I love to learn. And I said to somebody one time, a Christian was pushing back on how I talk about Jesus and consciousness. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, where was Jesus at for 18 years? And he was like, I don't know. And I'm like, I said, my friend, I said, if you're my friend, I said, if you disappeared, I said, well, we're acquaintances. I mean, you know, you're pushing back on my belief system. I said, if you disappeared for 18 years, I know who you are, and you came back on a donkey, you're the king of the world. Like, everybody's calling you Messiah, blah, blah, blah. And you came back on a donkey with Birkenstocks and a sheet around you. I'd be like, where the hell have you been?
Yeah, for real.
But every Christian I talk to or people, they never ask where Jesus. There's only one verse, and it's in the Old Testament, that says he grew in relationship with man and God. Mm-hmm. If you were gone for 18 years, I would ask you, now he comes back on a donkey. Why did he come back on a donkey? He was humbled. Donkeys represent humility. So he comes back on, if you're the king of the world, you'd be on a stallion, right? Yeah, right, cool little, like, so then he goes to all these, there's all these Pharisees, and they're wearing these amazing, they got these big churches and stuff. And he says, sit in the back in the church till you invite to the front. So he goes and finds people like me, a drug addict. And he's like, hey, listen, I know that shit happened to you as a kid. I know you don't believe in yourself. He's like, but I'm here to tell you that I am in you. Like, you're made in my not likeness and image. You can do this. You have to believe in yourself. But unless you believe in yourself, I cannot pray for you. And he starts to empower these people, and he started to teach them the secret. They're like, oh, yeah. I am powerful. I am strong. I am worthy. And then he walks up to a guy in a mat who's waiting for a fountain, who's waiting for Trump to come back, waiting for Jesus to come out of the sky. Yeah. If you get to that fountain, well, he's paralyzed. Everybody's jumping over him.
Yeah.
And he looks at the guy in the eyes, and they're all like, Jesus, they're going to, he's like, whatever. He walks, looks in the guy's eyes, said, do you want to be saved? And the guy says, yes. He says, pick up your mat and walk. And then he tells another guy, he's like, hey, listen, the guy's blind. And he's like, well, this guy's not going to believe me that I could get him to heal himself. So I'm going to have him put mud on his eyes. If I can get him to believe that this mud has some type of magical powers, now he believes that something, maybe it's, what's it called? Sublingual.
Yeah.
Like, he's sublingual. He's like, puts the mud on there. He's like, this is magic mud. And he's like, well, as long as you believe it's something, right? It's like, and so I started, and then he gets on this Sermon on the Mount. Sorry if I say it incorrectly, Sermon on the Mount. And he inverts everything. He's like, slap me on one cheek. It used to be eye for an eye. He's like, slap me on one cheek, I'll let you slap me on the other. You sue me for my shirt, I'm gonna give you my jacket.
Yeah.
You tell me to walk a mile, I'm gonna walk two. And so how I interpreted that was, there's a lot of physicality happening within the world. And there's a lot of people telling you how to believe in God and how to do this. And you gotta jump through hoops, and you gotta do all this stuff. And Jesus is like, dude, let all that physical go. He's like, to get in the kingdom of heaven is to be like these lowly children. I'm like, what does that mean? The reason why he taught children first is because they had no conscious mind.
Right.
So when we get to thinking stinking, when we start thinking stinking at 8 years old and we get a conscious mind, we from 8 to 80, we mess it all up. And you said it. We forget that we already can do it. And so we're praying, God, please help me. God, please help me. I need a job. He's like, McDonald's is hiring, man.
Yeah, right on. For sure.
Go get a job.
Dude, I did that. I did stand up on Broadway a couple of years ago. And that was a joke in my bit that I did. For real, yeah. I was like, I used to get these things, because I'm an ordained pastor, right? To help plant three churches, right?
Well, that's awesome. And I was like,
yeah, now I do this. It's fun.
That's amazing. Oh my God.
But I was up there. And I was like, you know, I used to get all these people. It's like, oh, you know, pastor, pray for me. You know, I just got laid off. You know, I really, really need a job, you know. And it's like, man, it's like, well, what in the world? It's like, you just got the offer over there. I'm like, you know, hurry up. Taco Bell won't be hiring forever. You know, it's like
yes.
Yeah. Or they are laid off and like, you know, I got this offer, but I just don't think that's what God wants for me. You know, and it's like, oh my gosh. But then it's in a scenario like you're describing yourself. It's like, you've got, you know, you literally go from like something to absolutely nothing, like no income coming in whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, well, if it's right there, you said McDonald's, but it's like, hurry up. Taco Bell is going to hire somebody else.
Yeah. Yes. And so like what happened for me is like in 2020, like, so I leave corporate America. I committed suicide. I'd read The Secret, end up getting a banking job. It was great. Like most unlikely job ever. I have severe dyslexia. I found that out in the military. It was crazy. I thought, you know, in school, everything that could have gone wrong in school, like everything that is a child, it was just like, but I'm grateful because it made me who I am today. I didn't even know I had dyslexia all through school. They were putting me in this, you know, different classes and stuff because of it. They never tested me for dyslexia. So I'm in the military and I'm going through all these classes. I keep failing tests. And the guy's like, let me verbally test you. And I aced it. He's like, I think you have dyslexia, man. So they tested me. I find out in the military I have dyslexia. And so I'm like, I have dyslexia, like I'm a failed bodybuilder, failed business owner, drug addict. And because of The Secret or belief in myself, the guy that helped me get through this, he calls me up one day and he's like, hey, I want you to interview for this job. And I'm like, I will clean the toilets, dude. I don't care. I need to pay the rent. So he's like, he said, it's a banker job. And I'm like, a banker job? And I'm like, I don't care, dude. So I went and got a suit. I think I still have the suit in a box in my garage. And I bought it at a Goodwill, like a thrift store. I had no money at this point, like 50 cents. I buy this suit and I show up, this oversized suit. And this lady, Lori Schmidt, interviewed me. I love this lady for the rest of my life. And I'm interviewing with her and I'm like, I keep thinking about my daughter. I'm doing the affirmations. Yeah. I'm like, okay, we're going to get an apartment and a house. And I meet with her and I go through the process. And at the end of the interview, I said, Lori, I don't remember exactly what I said, but I was like, if you hire me, I promise you, I will be the best employee you've ever brought on board. So I leave and I'm like, there's no way. I mean, there was people interviewing, they're banker. It's a banker. Yeah, and so she calls me 15 minutes later and she says, hey, Lori, my heart drops. And she's like, hey, we're going to hire you. And I said, really? And I said, what, am I going to clean the toilets? Like, what? She's like, we're going to hire you as a banker. She said, we can train you. She said something powerful. She said, we like your energy. And I was like, that's weird. I was like, okay. So then I go in there. I did very well as a banker, end up getting my own bank branch. And then I moved up to executive really fast to VP. And when I got hired for the next two positions, I wasn't the most qualified education wise, but both of them said, we like your energy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is this energy thing? And so I go through this whole, I move up in the bank and then that energy thing started to change. People said, your energy, like you feel off, because now I was doing something and I have another addiction now, is edification is back. Now I'm a banker, the 535 I BMW, keeping up with the Joneses, the VPs have BMW, so I need to get a BMW. And it was just like, so now I have this new addiction of keeping up with everybody, right? Because now that's a Cinderella story. Went to school, I got a job, got a 401k. And I'm like, this is life, man. So I go through recovery, do The Secret, and now I'm miserable in my banking job. Absolutely. My daughter actually talked about that. Wow. She was like, my dad was, you know, we had a lot of money. You know, we were doing very well. We're going on trips. My dad was always stressed out, always focused on like, when was our vacation going to be over? And I followed my gut feeling. I walked out of corporate America in 2017. I just walked out. And that's when life really changed me. That's what the conversation we just had. I went from praying for stuff and thanking God for the things that were already created. And it changed my life. It was like, because every day I do this, my son does, my daughter's like, thank you, God, so much for our $1 billion ecosystem. And I'm very, very, very intentional on what I mean by $1 billion ecosystem, schooling systems, resources, you know, programs for single moms, all these different things. And God is providing that stuff. I mean, we're not to $1 billion, we're multi-$1 million ecosystem now we're building, but what I encourage people is to get out of that lack of thinking that it's something, it's inside of you. It's a connection to the field and frequency. All possibilities exist. If you really believe in God, then all possibilities exist. They all exist.
Wow.
You just have to connect to it.
That's so freaking powerful, man. I mean, we could probably even go off even on like the physicality of that too, how thoughts connect to your muscles and everything else. It's like, yes. I see, you know, I know that. It was, I watched, a documentary in 2013 called Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead. And it's probably still on Netflix, you know, and it was, this dude who started juicing, you know, but it was more not so much that he just started juicing. He just started understanding and started thinking the thoughts, exactly what you're saying. It's like, yeah, this is going to be what gets me healthy. It's going to cure my liver problems. It's going to cure my kidney problems. You know, it's going to allow me to be of a healthy weight, you know, and I was very overweight at the time. I was 80 pounds heavier than what I am right now. Mm. Yeah, and in that process, you know, I looked at that, I'm like, huh. And then this dude walked down the hall at a movie theater. I love this. And it's like, he just looked at me. He's like, what's up, chubby? I was like, whoa. Yeah, I was like, just, I didn't know him. Not at all.
Oh my
you know?
God.
Yeah, so I go and I'm like, I mean, I was kind of flabbergasted. You know, I love that word. That's one of my favorite words on the planet, by the way.
It's a great flabbergasted word.
But it was that. And it's like, when I started to do that, I lost the weight. But then when I said, you know, I really didn't put on the muscle mass that I have now until a couple years ago, you know, but I started recognizing in my workouts when I would lift that, because I used to, dude, I mean, even like this, right? MacBook. Right. Yeah. I used to like have my MacBook open while I was working out. I used to have my phone open while I was working out. It's like, I can catch up on a couple emails, you know, I can get this done, you know, like in the rest sets in between, you know?
Yeah.
But when I started to see the progress is when I just focused, like literally with my mind focused on the exact muscle group that I was working. Yep. And I was like, oh my goodness. Even in that, it's like the power of thought goes into literally your body. Imagine the power of thought, like you're talking about, that can go into every aspect of your life.
Yes.
You know, and I love that we ended up talking about God and Jesus Christ today, because for everybody that doesn't believe or is like on the fence, if they're like a persuadable, you know, whatever it is, it's like, fine. If you don't want to, that's all good. But understand, which I do, is that there's still this stuff like quantum energy that exists. You know, and I fully believe that, I mean, we believe in God Almighty that actually created that, right? Literally, that energy thing that you're talking about, it's an energy exchange that happens between two people.
Yes, you know? Yes. Like, that's so, like, we'll go deeper into, like, this is what I believe Jesus was teaching. And this is people get upset at me when I talk about this stuff, but he comes back and I have a logical circuit in my brain. I don't know if it's dyslexia, but my brain looks at logic and I read the Bible as a living organism, not a history book. I read the Bible as a living organism, like, okay, and the deeper I go and the more I spend time with God and build relationship with God, like a relationship, like I now communicate with God. I'm like, you know, sorry about that. I now, sorry about that.
It's right when you said God, it was perfect.
I know, it's crazy. I now communicate with God. And what I mean by that is, like, I'm not a God, but I'm having a conversation with my Father.
Yeah.
And I can stop for a moment. When two or more are gathered. And so the studies that I'm doing of Jesus, and you know, he was gone for 18 years. He comes back and he's like, wait a minute, something's not right here. Like, we're not teaching relationship. Like, there's something not right here. All these people are chasing this esoteric thing outside of themselves.
Yeah.
Right. They think it's this outside in effect when it's from the inside out. Right. And then they start talking about, there's so many things. And you know, you're being an ordained pastor, I would love to get coaching around this. Like, I've been studying Moses. Goes to a burning bush. He goes up and to the right, and he didn't see God face to face. Somebody corrected me on, he saw God's back or something, but he got pretty close to God.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And right when he gets to God, what does he say? Tells him everything wrong with him. I have a speech impediment. I have a limp, blah, blah, blah. And God's like, we're not playing this.
Yeah,
game.
Right on. Yeah.
He's like, from here on out, you are, or no, sorry, I am in the Bible, the great I am. And that goes into the secret.
Yeah.
So Moses comes down, he turns a snake into a staff, right? It's like, interesting. He turns a snake into a staff. Now he has confidence. His spine is taut.
Yep.
Then he comes down. He goes to the slaves. He flees them from the Israelites. They go to the Red Sea. They part the Red Sea, and they're all excited, and they're free. And then they go into the desert, and they lose faith, just like us. They lose faith. And what does God do? He sends snakes again to bite them. But in the Bible, it says, take the snake, put it on the cross, and bronze it, and face that.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you're creating that. It's your thoughts, your behaviors, your actions. Put it on the cross and bronze it. Nobody's coming to save you. Then they're fishing in a boat, right? They're fishing in a boat. Jesus is standing on the water, freaking beast. It's amazing, man. He's floating on the water, right? And these guys are fishing on the left side of the boat. They're fishing on the left side of the boat. And he's like, psst, cast your nets to the right. So they throw it to the right and they catch 153 fish. 1 + 5 + 3 = 9.
Yeah.
Right. And the number nine keeps coming up over and over again in the Bible, and they catch a bunch of fish, which is wisdom. And underneath the ocean is this big, deep subconscious mind. So they're bringing the wisdom to the surface. And then he tells, I don't remember, was it Jacob, one of them to come out onto the water. And
Peter.
He starts to get, So he comes out in the water and he starts to, he gets scared, loses faith, and starts falling down. And all the subconscious mind programming comes up, all his fears and anxieties. Jesus is like, no, rise above that. You're in the right hemisphere now. You're like the children. Be creative. Yeah. Believe in yourself. And then Peter or Jacob sees God face to face.
Yeah.
He calls it pineal. He falls asleep on a rock. He looks at it. There's a ladder going up and down to God. And it's like, so I started to, like, instead of arguing with people, I'm like, I'm just going to apply these teachings to my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to apply praying in my closet. I pray on Twitter as well. But my thought process around that is like, well, if Jacob calls it pineal, right? The pineal gland activates. So I looked, well, how does a pineal gland work? When you're in darkness, your pineal gland activates. Your pineal gland is your thoughts. Like, so when you're thinking, when your pineal gland is activated, when I open my eyes, that's the reality that I'm facing, like the secret. So I'm like, so when I'm alone in my thoughts, I should be raising my frequency, because 95% of the time we're unconsciously walking through life, and only 5% of the time we are actually imagining and creating, right?
Yeah, it's insane, isn't it?
Right.
I think your conscious mind can handle only like 30 data points, but your subconscious mind, your unconscious mind can handle, it is exponential beyond that. You know, it's into the tens of thousands from what I've seen.
Yes.
At the same time, instantly,
Instantly. So what? Yes, I love it. So they're pulling the fish to the surface, which is wisdom. It's like, oh wait, it's all inside of me. Okay, I can do this. And it gets so convoluted. Like, you know, we have war over religion and war over God and war over this. And it's like, I really believe that Jesus was like, yeah, guys, it's about relationship. It's about a relationship with your Father. And then I think it was, you know, soon before he was crucified, and then he goes to pray to God, and he's like, and I don't remember the exact prayer, but he's like, why help me, Father? He's like, kind of goes from that belief to begging, like the person looking for a job, and God stops talking to him.
Yep.
God's like, who are you talking to? Like, that's not me. Then the devil pops up on his right side.
Yeah.
On his right side. So for me, I'm like, okay, so if I take the Bible as a living organism, so when I start begging God, God's like, I don't deal with beggars. We don't do that. I'm the great I am. Like, that's not me. You're talking to the devil. The devil's the prince of the earth. So if you're not going to believe in yourself, you're going to hang out with your lower carnal mind, which is a devil. If you want to do that, you have free will to do that. But I'm over here. Like, I'm in the creative state of mind. I believe in you. I freaking love you with all my heart. I'm never going to forsake you. JV, I was in the crack house with you, with your daughter. I never forsaked you. You forsaked me. You took free will to move. I was always with you. I was sitting right next to you the whole time. And the prodigal son. And so I started to apply these actual stories to my life. Because here's what happened to me as I went to a church. And I was in a Bible study. And I have pretty bad dyslexia, really bad dyslexia. And so I'm not a theologian. I couldn't memorize the verses like they did. And so we'd go to this Bible study. And these gentlemen, I watch how people live their life. That's how I determine whether you're a Christian or not, right? So, and I would, you know, they were really good. They could spike Bible verses. You know, they would be on stage speaking. I'm like, and I was kind of enthralled by that because I was trying to learn about Christ. And we were going to this, you know, breakfast thing, and we do our Bible study, and they'd be like, did you memorize? And I'm like, I understand what we're talking about, but I want to ask you guys a question. I said, you guys can know the Bible verses, but I see you on Facebook. I see you playing poker with your buddies. You're not paying attention to your wives or spouses. You don't seem to be connected with your kids. I said, isn't that what Christianity, isn't that what being a Christian is? Shouldn't we be doing good works? And they got so pissed at me. And I said, I keep it real, man.
Yeah.
And so that pissed me off. And so they got upset at me. So I went on my own mission. I'm like, I'm going to go read this book as if it's a living organism. And no matter how long it takes me to read it, no matter how many people I need to talk to, and I just started learning from different people. And then somebody comes to me and says, hey, your belief system is wrong, especially when I talk like that about the right hemisphere of the brain. They say, your belief system is wrong. I said, why do you believe what you believe? That's my question back.
Yeah.
And they'll say to me, well, my pastor told me that. So why do you believe it though?
Yeah.
Have you applied this to your life? How is Christ working in your life? And the answer is, she's like, wow, I never thought about that. I'm like, you should. You should start thinking about it. We should all start thinking. We should all start thinking again.
Right?
Yeah. If we all started thinking, because, you know, like, we got the craziest presidential election coming up in human history. It's like, and everybody's waiting for a savior to come back. Everybody's waiting for Jesus to come out of the sky or Trump to come and save them. And it's like,
dude, I laugh. I look at the choices and I just let.
Well, like, it's like, yeah.
It's comical in some ways, you know?
It's like a historical pattern that keeps repeating itself.
It is. Absolutely it is. Yeah.
It's like Jesus' timeline. It's like looking at the Pharisees and it's just like, what? Come on, get out of your egos, guys. Like, let's just go build together. Let's expand consciousness together. And that's what's beautiful about this timeline. And what I believe is, like, this is a beautiful timeline. It's almost like a Christ consciousness timeline. Yeah. I believe that Christ is awakening in people right now. And I said this, now I would love to hear your thoughts on this, is somebody asked me, how can you believe in Jesus so much? I said, this is the way I think about it. If I went to every adult in the world and I asked them, have you ever heard of Jesus? They'd probably say yes.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, for the most part.
So absolutely. If every single adult says yes, why? He's the biggest influencer in the world. So wouldn't that mean he's in us if everybody knows who he is?
Yeah.
Like, how could somebody know one person? Like, he's the number one influencer in the world. On. You know, it's not Charlie DeMaio on TikTok. It's not The Rock. It's Jesus Christ. Whether you hate him or love him, you know him. He's undefeated.
Yeah.
He is undefeated. They killed him and we still can't keep him out of our mouth. He's the top G, man.
Yeah, for real.
You know, so.
Right on, my man. My mind went to, it's like that you said, like, he's the number one influencer. The Bible is literally like the number one bookseller every single year too. You know, I don't know why Trump thinks he has to help that along with his $59 USA Bible, but
it's so interesting. It's just, and what I realized too, is I had a really funny moment with my coach, and it was like, sometimes I get caught in these rabbit holes. I study a lot. And I was like, somebody asked me if the earth was flat. And so I started looking at flat earth stuff and, you know, it's convincing, blah, blah, blah. And I went to him and I just love my coach. And he was like, I go, hey man, what do you think? He's really smart. And I said, is the earth flat, dude? And he goes, okay, JB, the earth is flat. Cool. He goes, what are you going to do tomorrow? He goes, the earth is square now. What are your activities and behaviors you're going to do? He goes, who cares if it's square? Yep. Who cares if it's purple? Who cares if it's green? He goes, what are you going to do when you wake up? How are you going to treat your kids? If it's flat, what does it do for you? Nothing. He's like, what? Like, everybody's spending so much energy.
Goes, I cannot entertain that thought, because I'd be the guy that'd be like, I'm going to go find one of the corners. I want to see what the corner looks like.
Yes. The whole point of what is, it's like everybody's waiting for something when it's all inside of you. And it's, what I believe is, it's all hidden in plain sight, waiting for you to find it and make the path to light difficult, so the weak and weary will not follow. And where God is not weak, God is not weary. God is disciplined. That's what disciples are. God is. And so I was like, the more disciplined I become in my spiritual life, my financial life, my mental life, the more I know Christ. And I believe that's what being a disciple is.
At least we'll figure that out along the way, I think.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. Dude, I've had such an amazing time just soaking everything in today that you've said. I appreciate who you are.
Thank you.
I'd love to meet your daughter someday too. I'd love for my daughter to meet your daughter. You know,
it's she's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. My twins are 16, boy and girl.
Wow.
Yeah, so close-ish, right?
Yeah.
But it's man, I commend you. I do. Thank and you. I know you don't need it. I get that. You know, but at the same time, I want to tell you that I see you. I see the guilt that you still carry. You know, I see the ability that you've had to rise above all of that, because you've recognized that you've literally had everything the whole time. Mm-hmm. You know, and I love that you're in this world, because you're able to help every single one of those 2 million subscribers see the same thing. You know, and it's like, even stuff like this, you have seriously enriched my life today.
Thank you, man.
You know, on this Good Friday. And it's like the pleasure seriously is all mine. And I don't know how we got connected and how I ended up getting you booked, you know, because that's my team and everybody else. But dude, you're amazing. And I appreciate you.
Thank you. Love you, brother.
Keep shining. Keep shining. You know, keep showing people that energy vibe too, because awesome. You can feel it. That was the one thing I was going to say earlier. It's like, for people that don't believe in God, you know, but when we were talking about quantum energy, it's like, have you ever had somebody just like walk up to you and all of a sudden you just feel off?
Yeah, all the time.
Without speaking any kind of words whatsoever. It's like all they have to do is enter your space, you know, within about 6 feet of you, and you can just feel it. Likewise, just like you and Linda, I think you said her name was, right? the interviewer?
Lori Schmidt.
That's it. Yeah, same scenario. It's like you walk into that and they're like, man, there's something here.
You said something powerful. Like, how many feet apart did they have us during the pandemic?
Yeah, 6 feet. Yep.
We didn't want to send each other's auric field, man.
Yeah, right on.
We couldn't connect with each other, man. We couldn't connect.
That was horrible. I don't believe in Zoom dates as the first date.
Weird stuff.
For sure, but man.
The great thing about it is, look, we're, you know, it connected things like this. Like, that's the, you know, it took us.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a pandemic, ended up becoming the greatest thing that ever happened to our,
for sure,
our community. It was like, I've met the coolest people since then.
That's awesome. Thank you, brother. Thank you for everything. Appreciate Where can everyone you. Find you?
Simply Coach JV, like Junior Varsity, Coach JV, or the 3TWarriorAcademy.com. Everything will come up. 3T as in Tom, WarriorAcademy.com.
Nice, brother. I'm going to go on there too. I need to. I want to level things up. I'm doing pretty good with fitness, but I want to level things up. I see your arms, dude.
Awesome, man.
Thanks, brother, for coming on. You're awesome.
Awesome. Thank you. Love you, man.